Welcome to the Chosen People radio program, a production of Chosen People Ministries. On this program, you'll hear inspiring stories, learn about messianic apologetics, and discover God's plan for Israel and you. And wherever you're listening right now, we hope you lean in, listen closely, and learn a lot. Now let's welcome our hosts, Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries, and Robert Walter, our New York regional director.
Shalom, friends. This is Mitch Glazer, president of Chosen People Ministries. With me is Bobby Walter, who leads our New York region. How's that going, Bobby?
It's going great, Mitch.
Find any Jewish people to talk to about Jesus?
Yeah, 1 or 2 million.
pray for us, right? I mean, yes. You know, we have a thriving Messianic congregation. That's a church in a minor key. Sometimes people call it something like that.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful place to bring Jewish people to hear the gospel and to be discipled. And we have just so many activities going on in the greater New York area. And, you know, New York's getting a little dicey these days, you know? And
It is.
And we like dicey, though, you know? Missionaries are like firemen, you know? Mm-hmm. Where's the fire? And people say, oh, you better run the other way. We say, that's okay. We'll go right at it, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And so when times and conditions are bad, people turn to the Lord. When Jewish people feel like nobody loves them, we know somebody who does love them.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So we want to be able to share that with Jewish people. Now, we've been talking about God's covenants with the Jewish people because mm-hmm. what we believe about God's ongoing plan for Israel and the Jewish people, what we believe about the future and the important role that Jewish people have in the future of God's plan is not something that we just pick out of thin air or something that we, you know, we found a pamphlet at a delicatessen, you know?
Right.
This is biblical, mm-hmm. thoroughly biblical.
Yep.
And one of the best ways to view God's plan and purposes for the Jewish people is through what's known as the covenants, mm-hmm. God's covenants, God's agreements with the Jewish people. And these covenants change. Not every covenant is the same. So we just spent a number of weeks, and I hope that you were with us. If not, you can look it up online. Mm-hmm. But we did the Abrahamic covenant, God's covenant with our forefather Abraham. And there are lots of wonderful aspects to this covenant for the Jewish people. So a lot of that covenant is very literal, that the Jewish people would become a people and mm-hmm. be a preserved people, that the Jewish people would be given a land and a lot more. But the Abrahamic covenant also has something for non-Jews, mm-hmm. where non-Jews inherit the spiritual promises that God gave through Abraham to the world,
right.
to the Jewish people. And so there's a lot to learn from that covenant. But the key to the Abrahamic covenant is what word, Bobby? Can you get it?
So I would say unconditional.
Unconditional. Yeah. You win the prize on that one.
Oh, thank you.
I'll send you a copy of a free book on.
Oh, great.
Okay. And so unconditional, that means without conditions. It means that that covenant is destined to be fulfilled. It is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because God never breaks his word. And even if man proves to be incapable of fulfilling demands of a covenant, God will work and move men and women to, and he will empower them to fulfill that covenant.
Right, right. And I think we talked quite a bit about that, how when God was making the Abrahamic covenant, time and time again, through these covenant rituals, like when he had Abraham slice these animals in two, God was putting the onus upon himself only
right.
to uphold and fulfill these covenant promises that
That's
he was
right.
making,
That's
which
right.
was unique in ancient Near Eastern covenants. Usually there's two parties who both have, like, you know, obligations to uphold in that agreement. But
right.
again, God put it all on himself. So that's really like this unconditional component.
Yeah. yeah. And so God's giving the Jewish people the land of Israel, mm-hmm. boundaries laid out in Genesis 15, very specific. That promise is going to be fulfilled without fail. So what we tried to explain is that the Jewish people, through the Abrahamic covenant, were given the deed to the land of Israel.
Right.
On the other hand, the Jewish people sometimes act like renters because we keep missing rent payments and get thrown out.
Yeah.
And so There is a covenantal basis, though, for being thrown out. There's a covenantal basis for why we will inherit the land, but then there's a covenantal basis for why we will be tossed out of the land because of judgment and because of our disobedience. Bobby, I can tell you, as a Jewish person, I live in Brooklyn because of Israel's disobedience. I live in Brooklyn because I'm under judgment.
Yeah. It feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does, more and more.
Yeah.
But we love being there. And so Exodus chapter 19 is where God gives the Mosaic covenant, which was not unconditional. It was the opposite. It was conditional. If you do this, I'll do this. If you do that, I'll do that. If you obey, you'll be blessed. If you disobey, you'll be cursed. And that's really detailed. And so these are called the Ten Commandments. They're not really commandments. That's a different Hebrew word. That's mitzvot. This Hebrew word is devar, which means the 10 words.
The 10 words, yeah.
And that word words is interesting. It's not very different than the word mitzvot for a covenant. I don't know why some people translate it 10 commandments, because they're not commandments. They're actually promises. Promises. Because that's how devar is used oftentimes in scripture. It's not just an empty word, or it's a promise. It's a promise. And so God made promises. And so we read the Ten Commandments, which are really 10 promises. I'm the Lord your God, chapter 20, verse 1, who brought you out of slavery. I'm sorry, verse 2. And out of the house of slavery, you shall have no other gods before me. And my promise is, if you have other gods before me, you won't be happy about what happens. That's what the promise is.
Yeah.
You shall not make for yourself a carved image, so no idolatry. And then he goes on, don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. All of these are God's promises to the Jewish people that if they do it, they'll be blessed. If they don't, they will be cursed. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. And don't cover your neighbor's house, his wife, or animals. And so these are the 10 words of promise that are really not commandments, but they are essentially givens. That's the way I like to look at it. If you do this, don't even think about it. Judgment will fall upon you. And if you do it and do it the way I want it, then you will be blessed. Now, can I just follow up for 2 seconds here? Because there are a couple of chapters where this is really, really detailed. And so one is Leviticus chapter 26, and the other is Deuteronomy 28. I have to admit, these are my two least favorite chapters in the Bible.
Yeah, they're pretty harsh.
They're very harsh. There seems to be a heavy preponderance of judgment.
Yeah.
And not a blessing. And so I'm reading verse 3 of 26, Leviticus 26. If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will give you your rains in their season, and the land shall increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last to the time of the grape harvest, and the grape harvest shall last to the time for sowing. And then it goes on and on with all of these wonderful promises until you get to verse 14. And then Moses writes, but if you will not listen to me and will not do all these commandments, if you spurn my statutes, and if your soul abhors my rules, so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant. So the breaking of the covenant is by disobedience to the stipulations of the covenant. In Judaism, they say some rabbi must have gotten out a calculator and said it's 613 commandments,
right?
Both positive and negative. Have you counted, Bobby?
I have not counted, no.
Yeah, I tried. I gave up at 40. It's just too complicated.
Yeah.
But Moses goes on to say, if you will not listen to me and not do the commandments, then I will do this to you. I will visit you with panic, with wasting disease and fever that consume the eyes and make the heart ache. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it, and on and on and on. Verse 21, then if you walk contrary to me and will not listen to me, I will continue striking you sevenfold for your sins. These are terrible, terrible chapters and terrible curses upon the Jewish people for disobedience.
Yeah.
And we have to remember that this is a conditional covenant. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't have to be. If the Jewish people repent and turn and are obedient to God, then he'll pour out blessings rather than curses. And this is the same in Deuteronomy chapter 28.
Right.
So we have a very stark comparison between a conditional covenant and an unconditional covenant. The Jewish people get the land, get the promise of a future relationship with God. They get all of that through the unconditional promise that was given by God to Abraham and reiterated to Isaac and Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
And the conditional covenant was given to the Jewish people by Moses at Mount Sinai, and that is the basis for being cast out of the land and for the judgment that is to come.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Which one you like better?
Well, I mean, I think they're both great. You know, they both have the things about them. But obviously, like, the unconditional covenant.
I like that much better.
So much more appealing.
I like that better,
yeah.
You know?
But it's interesting because you even see, like, when these covenants are made, you do see a contrast. Like we said earlier, with the Abrahamic, God is putting all the onus upon himself in the covenant ritual, you know, in the covenant-making ritual with Abraham. But then at Sinai, the people commit to it. They say, all that you say, we will do.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. And Mitch, like you said, attached or part of the Mosaic covenant as it relates to the land is this condition. And especially, just to read a little bit more from Deuteronomy 28, it's just really, really strong language that God uses here. Deuteronomy 28, verse 63, when it comes to Israel's possession of the land, okay, and it's based on her obedience or disobedience, says this, "It shall come about that as the Lord delighted over you to prosper you and multiply you, so the Lord will delight over you to make you perish and destroy you, and you will be torn from the land where you are entering to possess it. Moreover, the Lord will scatter you among all peoples from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone, which you or your fathers have not known. Among those nations you shall find no rest, and there will be no resting place for the sole of your feet. But there the Lord will give you a trembling heart, failing of eyes, and despair of soul." Mm. Like, this is so bleak and so heavy.
Harsh.
Very harsh.
Harsh, but a just and gracious God. But he is not someone to be fooled with.
Right.
You know, this is, you know, we talk about morality as if it's an elective in life.
Mm.
You know, but it's not according to God's standards. He's holy and he wants us to be holy. Mm-hmm. And if not, we'll be judged.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's something not to be taken lightly. And I think one kind of just like big picture takeaway when we think about these two covenants, the Abrahamic and the Mosaic, as it relates to Israel's relationship with the land, the people and the land.
Right.
Ownership of the land is unconditional. Like, God has given the deed of the land of Israel to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their descendants. Okay. Boom. Israel. Possession of the land, whether or not Israel is in the land, dwelling in safety and security and peace and all of that, that is the conditional side of things.
Right. And, but it's very interesting that God never forgot his promises to bring the Jewish people back to the land. You know, I'd like to read, Bobby, for a moment, Deuteronomy chapter 3. And next radio program and podcast, we're gonna keep looking at the Mosaic Covenant. I'd like to get to chapter 30 through 32 and especially focus on the Song of Moses because it's such a hopeful, beautiful, covenantal song. But I want to bring up chapter 3, verse 26, because I have some new insight into it.
Okay.
All right?
Great.
"And I pleaded with the Lord at that time," Moses said, "O Lord God, you've only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, that good hill country in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me because of you and would not listen to me. And the Lord said to me, 'Enough from you. Do not speak to me of this matter again. Go up to the top of Pisgah, lift your eyes westward and northward, southward and eastward, and look at it, the land, with your eyes. You shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he shall go over at the head of his people, and he shall put them in possession of the land, and you shall see. So we remained in the valley opposite Beth Peor. Now, this passage means a lot to me now. I told the story of our going from Israel to Jordan and of the Iranian missile hitting our property. But while we were in Jordan, I asked our Jordanian Christian guides if we might be able to do something outside of the hotel, because we were really going stir crazy, having just spent the last 4 or 5 days, you know, in bomb shelters.
I can't imagine.
Yeah. And so he said, would you like to go to Mount Pisgah? I said, wow, I've never been there. Okay. So we went up to Mount Pisgah, and I stood there at the end of the fence looking at the view that Moses would have had of Israel when God told him he couldn't go into the land, and that because of he hit the rock and it was a judgment. And Moses was able to see it, but he wasn't able to go. And it was at that moment that I realized that I had become the anti-Moses. It was extraordinary.
Yeah.
What an appreciation for what happened at this incredible place. Because I was leading the, at least a lot of Abraham's children, according to the promise, I was leading them out of Israel into Jordan. And when I was on top of Mount Pisgah, I looked at this beautiful scene and I said, oh my gosh, how Moses must have felt. And now I don't have to leave the land, except for, you know, Iranian bombs, but I wasn't too concerned about it, but I had a lot of people to take care of. But I thought to myself, wow, what would Moses have felt? Because he did love God, and he did love the way that God dealt with the Jewish people through him, even though he had a problem with his own people because of disobedience. But, I mean, what Moses must have felt standing there on Mount Pisgah, watching Joshua lead the Jewish people into the land of promise, knowing that he couldn't go. Moses understood the weight of disobedience. And yet he still loved God and thought God was fair. And it's just a beautiful lesson in understanding humility and spiritual depth that Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I love him. So sometimes you are held to account for what you do or what you let happen, and God will exercise his justice because that's his character and that's his nature.
Right.
But never forget that he is a covenant-keeping, faithful God who's filled with grace and with mercy. You're not always going to get that mercy. Sometimes you're going to get the justice because that's also part of God's character. But it's amazing. And so I have a new fondness for Moses, although he's not the kind of guy I would have invited over for dinner, really. But he and Isaiah, I never would have done that. You know? But what I really understand now is that you can love God even when you come face to face with your own failures. And even though you know you're forgiven, but you might have to handle the consequences of failure or unfaithfulness. And we see quite a bit of that today.
Yeah.
And so if you are reaping the consequences of your sin and tempted to get bitter towards God or think that somehow God has failed you or doesn't love you anymore, think again. Think like Moses, that Moses saw through the difficulties of his own consequences, reaping what he sowed in some ways. He understood it, and he loved God through the disappointment. And we can love God through the disappointment because we know that he is a good, gracious, wonderful, loving God who sent his only son to bear the penalties for our sin.
Amen. Amen. And I honestly, Mitch, I think even building off of that, when you think about Moses not being able to enter into the promised land and having to deal with the consequences of his actions in this life, we do see that when the greater Moses comes, beyond, you know, the first Moses' experience on this earth, we do see Moses in the promised land with Yeshua.
Yes.
At the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
So beyond this life, there is hope. There is greater blessing. There is, despite our failures and our shortcomings, there is restoration that is found only in the Messiah. And I think Moses got a taste of that. Well, he certainly has a taste of it now, but even at the Mount of Transfiguration there.
And Bobby, maybe the more difficult thing even to take, because that's such a great point, is that sometimes we experience hardship when we didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Maybe other people did it, or maybe it was just God's plan for us to go through a difficult season for the benefit and blessings of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that happens. We have to learn how to trust and love the character and person of God and not focus only on what he does.
Mm.
At Chosen People Ministries, our desire is to share the good news of Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, with Jewish people in ways that are challenging, creative, and compelling. We can only accomplish this mission with the partnership, prayers, and financial support of listeners like you, who have the desire and a passion to reach out to Jewish people all over the country. If that's you, please connect with us online. You'll find us at chosenpeople.com/radio.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on The Chosen People. As always, we're grateful that you're tuning in, and we would love to hear more from you. We want to invite you to reach out to us. So you can visit us online. Just go to chosenpeople.com/radio, and we'd love to send you a free gift. We have a really good, high-quality booklet called God's Plan and Purposes for the Jewish People, and we want to send it to you for free. So again, just visit us, chosenpeople.com/radio. You can also email us. Just send us a note. The email address is radio@chosenpeople.com. And again, we would love to hear from you. So send us a note of encouragement, maybe some questions that you might have or some scriptures that you want to share with us, or maybe you disagree with something that we've shared and you want to...
Come on, who would do that?
Believe it or not, Mitch, there might be one or two out there.
Seriously? Wow.
You know.
Well, the complaint department is open from 10 to 11 o'clock at night on Sunday.
Okay. Okay, you heard it from Mitch yourself. All right, so... But that's the email address. Again, it's radio@chosenpeople.com. And you can also give us a call. We have a phone line set up where you can leave a voicemail message. Again, if you had a question or a comment or something that you wanted to share. And the phone number is this. It is 914-288-1466. Again, that's 914-288-1466.
We'd love for people to write in their favorite Bible verses or even ask some ongoing questions about what we've been talking about regarding Israel and prophecy in the end times. And we'd love to be able to answer those questions. The other thing that I was thinking, Bobby, is a lot of you listening go to a great home church, and maybe one day you'd like to have Chosen People Ministries come and visit your church. We can present Messiah in the Passover. We can have a message on prophecy, talk mm-hmm. about Jewish evangelism. There's so many ways we could serve you and your church. And I love the church, Bobby, because it's ground up, you know?
Absolutely.
Pastors respond to the good people who come to their church faithfully. And so you can make a difference in helping Chosen People Ministries get a hearing at your church so that they can all be encouraged and they can be better equipped to reach Jewish people for the Messiah Jesus.
I same thing, Mitch. I love visiting churches and getting in touch with our brothers and sisters around the country, around the world, and just hearing and seeing your love for the Jewish people and for Israel. Such an encouragement to us.
So much to learn.
Well, and now, Mitch, and all of our listeners, again, we just want to wrap things up with the Aaronic benediction.
Yivarechecha Adonai Yishmarecha Ya'er panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom v'yasem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you and give you peace. B'shem shel Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom, in the name of Jesus the Messiah, the Prince of Peace.